We showed you the people, some of the people that we met in Germany. I'm amazed Davey sang that because today, how many can see this? Can everybody see this? This was a man that I witnessed to and gave a track and that was in Germany. It's amazing. I'm going to preach about that today. I was reading the book of Acts, and we're going to read in Acts chapter 3 today about that man who was outside the temple, and we're going to preach, and I'm going to talk to you about this man right here. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Wasn't that a blessing? By the way, Brother Dave Ballard, our associate pastor, he'll be preaching tonight. I've asked him to bring a message, and he will be preaching tonight in the 6 p.m. service. Don't forget, 5:30, teachers' Sunday school meeting. I'll be meeting with the teachers about lesson 1 and 2. Also, if you haven't got your lessons 1 and 2, I'll be passing those out to those teachers that will be teaching. And so let me encourage the teachers to be back at 5:30, and then our regular service at 6 o'clock. Hope everyone can come back out. Look at Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. How many have got Acts chapter 3? We're so glad you're here today. Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, in other words, he was crippled from the day he was born, was carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, I circled that, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. Boy, it's amazing when God does miracles on people, how their lives change. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them to the porch, and it's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" I've seen great healings in my life. I've always told people it wasn't me, it was God. And I've seen miracles in Ravenna. I've seen miracles in Toledo. I really have. See, I just know God can do, it doesn't matter where you are, God can do. I'm not a faith healer, but I have faith that God can heal. There's a big difference. And by the way, anytime anyone's healed, and God does heal people when he sees fit to, it's all God, nothing to do with man. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto him. Remember that Barabbas went free and Jesus took his place? You see, Jesus took the sinner's place, didn't he? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead. I'm glad he's not dead, though. He's risen. Amen. Wherefore you are witnesses. And his name, the name of Christ, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through your ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers, But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. He did on the cross of Calvary. My text verse, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of the restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Jesus is coming back. And by the way, that restitution there in that verse 20, 21, that's talking about the restoration of Israel. And by the way, you are witnesses of the restoration of Israel. I was talking about it in Wednesday night service, how Israel became a nation in 1948. Now they got Jerusalem in 67. We've seen those dry bones of Ezekiel 36 come back to life, and that's the nation Israel. We're the only people in 2,500 years to see Israel restored. By the way, he said that generation will not pass till I come back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that I can be a blessing. I sure want to be. Help us to be excited about the salvation you've given us, and help those that know not Christ, that have not had their sins blotted out. I pray today would be a day that they would say yes to Jesus and have their sins blotted out and be saved forever and have heaven as their future. And Lord, help me now to do well for you, that I could be a blessing to the folk. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 19 is my text verse. And here's the title, John or Danny, whoever's up there. Are your sins blotted out? By the way, they got to be blotted out by the blood of Christ, or you won't get to heaven. And notice verse 19, my text verse. Repent ye therefore. See, that when you get saved, there's got to be repentance. Amen. If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. The Bible says godly sorrow is good. Godly sorrow worketh to salvation, which is not to be repented of. Godly sorrow is when you say, yes, I am a lost sinner. I really deserve to go to hell, yet I know Christ loved me and died for me. Christ, I'm gonna accept your gift of eternal life because you were my substitute on the cross. I'm gonna take what you did for me so I can get to heaven. That's repentance. And one man says, repentance is a changing of mind. Repentance is you're going this way and you turn and you go this way. Brother Joe and I was talking. We spent 3-4 days with Joe Tutak and Cindy. They went home yesterday in the morning. And we were talking about my past life before I got saved. And he said, preacher, it's a miracle that you... He said, I don't believe you'd be alive today if God wouldn't have saved you. And I said, Brother Joe, I know I would not have been alive today had not Christ saved me. By the way, some of you wouldn't be alive either. Well, notice verse 1. Today, I want to preach to you on the subject, are your sins blotted out? Let's look at verse 1. Brother Carl, we're going to do a little expository preaching. And so I like doing expository preaching. It's fun. I think it's very edifying. I think it's good for the hearers to hear. Now look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now I see three big things in that verse 1, Eddie. First of all, Peter and John went up together in the temple. I think the church is a good place to go. You want to go to a good place? Go to church. Church, it's good to go to church. And then they went, and it says they pray. I think the best place, I think you can pray, by the way, you can pray anywhere. And we should, the Bible says we should pray always. And morning, noon, and evening. And so, but a church is a good place to pray. You know, Roddy, you and I, when we were younger, we used to see the old-time revivals. We don't see them today, but when I first got saved, they still were having revivals 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Some even went months. Oh, yeah. You'd shut a church down if you did it today. I mean it. Hello? We've come a long ways away from God, haven't we? See, we're too busy for that many services. We're too busy, aren't we? And oh, how the mourner's bench and the old altars, Roddy, Evangelist Black Nose, how people would gather around and they would just pour out their heart to God, and boy, revival would come to churches. By the way, if we don't get that in America, and we don't start here in Ravenna, it'll never start in America. Amen? Well, church is a good place to go, and church is a good place to pray. You notice they came in the ninth hour. It's interesting about that ninth hour. I'm a numbers nut. Nine means the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting. In Matthew 27:46, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me in the ninth hour? You never forsook Noah in the ark. He never forsook Daniel in the lion's den. He never forsook the three Hebrews in the furnace of fire. Why, I'm your only begotten son. Why would you forsake me? My God, thou hast forsaken me. And the emphasis is on me, you see. God had to forsake him because Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen. Christ had to become our sacrifice, our sin bearer, for us to have pardon and forgiveness. Amen? It's interesting. But by the way, soon after that ninth hour, after Jesus Christ, they gave him some vinegar to drink. And then soon after that, around the ninth hour, he cried, "It is finished." Calvary, Jesus paid it all. Amen? And then it's interesting about that ninth hour. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, the Bible says he was a devout man and gave alms, gave money, prayed, wasn't saved yet. But it was the ninth hour that God gave him a vision, and God spoke to him in the ninth hour. By the way, God sent Peter there to him, and later on he got saved. It's interesting how that ninth hour is always connected with people coming to know the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Then look at verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. He was born lame. He was born deformed. He was born handicapped. Are you with me? This man, he could not walk. He couldn't make it by himself. He needed someone to help him. He is a spiritual picture of every person that's ever been born. Because all of us are born spiritually lame. We can't get to heaven by ourselves. We have to have help to get to heaven. Amen? We're all spiritually born lame. Listen, I want you to note this. This man was totally dependent on others to help him. Look at that verse 2. He was lame from his mother's womb. He was carried, verse 2, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. How many see that? But Brother Coolidge, if every day someone had some people had to get together and carry him and put him at that temple at the gate of the beautiful. Are you with me? And notice something else it says there in verse 2. To ask alms of them to enter the temple. So not only was he dependent on those to carry him, but then he had to depend on those that would be merciful to give and compassionate to give him money. You see, he was dependent for everything on life. If it stormed, he couldn't walk. He was dependent on someone to come back. Otherwise, he'd be left out in the wind, in the cold, in the rain. Are you with me? He was dependent on people's compassion. Even if he got to the temple, if people didn't have compassion, put money in his plate, he'd go hungry. Do you see? He was totally dependent on people. When I went to Germany back in September, and by the way, Brother Harold's starting on January 27th, just a few weeks from now. I've got it all boxed up, whole kinds of stuff we're sending them. And on January 27th, Bethel Baptist Church of Stuttgart, Germany, is going to organize into an independent Baptist church. Amen? Amen? Out of our church. But Bobby, when I was there, and Bobby, I didn't notice this till last night when I was putting this together. Eddie, we went down in the heart of Stuttgart, I showed you slides. I can't do it today. But I showed you all the different people, thousands of people down there. And as we were walking all through, I saw this church. I believe it was a Catholic church, or if it wasn't, it was a Greek Orthodox, but I think it might have been Catholic, but I'm not sure. But it was around 6 o'clock, and we took a picture of it. And then there was a lady, we could see a lady going in there. And then this window right here, I took a picture of that. And what this depicts, it has the 12 apostles with Christ in the middle on the cross. Boy, I'm glad for Calvary, amen. Well, after I took those pictures, you know, your preacher, I'm always curious. I said, hey, Harold, let's go inside and see what it looks like in there. I hadn't realized it. They were having a church service. There was people in there when I got in there. Probably about 50 people. Not a lot of people, but there was probably 40, 50 people. And some, I think there were some nuns. But, boy, Eddie, I get in there, and, man, it was psychedelic. I mean, it was wild, man. You kids were, I thought I was tripping, man. I thought I was tripping out. Hey, I mean, they had these pictures, Grandma, some kind of sketch artist about Jesus. And he was, it was weird. I said, wow, man, I bet these guys on drugs must have made that when they're on drugs. I mean, they had all these weird, I said, I know one thing, this ain't my, and then I noticed people were coming in, sitting down, and I told Harold, I said, they're going to have a church service in this place. I said, we better get out of here. I went in to take pictures, man. I'm snapping pictures. All of a sudden, I said, no, to put that camera away. We can't take pictures in there. They're going to throw us out. So before they threw me out, I got out. Amen? It's better to go willingly. So we walk out, Jimmy. I watch this. Those that are closer can see this. This is a picture of that church we went in, okay? When I went in, the only one there was that lady. When I came out, this man, when I came out of that temple, whatever it was, some kind of church, it wasn't fundamental, I'll tell you that. They didn't have no real Bible. I mean, it was really, whatever that was, some kind of religion. See, religion won't get you to heaven. You got to have Christ. I came out, and see here, Bobby, see that spot right there? See, it was vacant then. When I came out, here was that man. And Cooley's the first thing that went in my mind. The very thing that went in my mind was Acts chapter 3, how there was a man sitting out the gate of the beautiful outside the temple begging for money. And that's the first thing that went through my mind. Is, oh, my lands. And by the way, did you notice he's got his little plate here? He was out. Now, I don't think he was lame. I don't think he was carried there. But the thought in my mind was, here it is, a man sitting out in front of a temple asking for money. By the way, if a man can work, he ought not beg. Bible says if you can work and you don't work. Now, some people are handicapped. Some people can't. But the Bible says you should if you can work and you don't work, you shouldn't even eat. That's a good motive for working, isn't it? But I saw this man, and Tammy, my heart started to race because I thought about the book of Acts, chapter 3 that I'm preaching to you now. And I said, sir, I want to give you this paper. I gave him a track. It was because Harold gave me some German tracks. And so I gave him a German track. It was a chick track in German. I passed out a lot of chick tracks while I was out there. German, it's amazing how good. And they got pictures and stuff, which is illustration, which is great. And I said, can I take your picture? And I don't even know if he understood me or not, but he just went. He just didn't say nothing. He just went. And so I took a picture of him, and I put a 1 euro. I think I put 1 euro. It was like a dollar and worth about a dollar and 40 cents or whatever. I put one of the gold coins in. I don't know what it was. Maybe a dollar, maybe a dollar and a half, whatever equaled out to in American money. But I put it in there. I said, thank you. And normally I wouldn't have put that in, but I wanted to have a testimony for Christ. You get somebody a track, and you want, just like when I go to the Cracker Barrel and stuff like that, I always leave tracks, but I always make sure I leave $2 or $3, $4, $5, wherever I'm at, whatever the bill is. I always make sure I leave a good tip, because I want that person to get to my tip, say, hey, that guy's a good guy. I want to read my track. You can't buy people way to heaven, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a good testimony to say, hey, at least that guy cares about my life, because most of those people out there in those jobs, they're counting on those tips to make a living. Well, anyways, I'm going to preach to you today about the temple. And interesting, Brother Coolidge, when I was in Germany, I literally experienced, on my tapes, and I, you, how many saw the tape of Germany when Preacher did that hour-long tape? The Elizabeth had, when she presented it, she put, "People need the Lord" at the end. And I imagine David sang that song, and I said, oh, my lands, I know this is God wanting me to preach this today, because that's the song we played when I was trying to show you about the people in Germany. But see, that man's a picture of the man in Acts 3, but he's a picture of all people, because all people are lame from birth. All people need help. All people need Christ. Amen? Well, look at verse 3. This man sitting in front of the temple at the called Beautiful to ask alms of them. And then verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask alms. Alms? They cry, alms for the poor? Alms? Now, this man didn't say that to me, but this man, alms? I'm sure he cried out, alms for the poor? They could see his destitute. They could see he was handicapped. Are you with me? Trying to get some mercy and compassion. And look at verse 4. Peter fastened his eyes upon him. And John said, look on us. I like that. All right, you want some money? Look at me. I want to talk to you. And he gave heed unto them. Why? He was expecting to read something from them. He thought he was going to get some money. I'll look at you. Tell me what you want to tell me. Give me that money. Hello? Now, look at verse 6. This first statement in verse 6 tells me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Peter and John were Baptist preachers. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Those are Baptist preachers. But there's a second part, they're Baptist too. But such as I have given thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We don't need money. We got Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Amen? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, I circled that. His feet and ankle bones received strength. See, this is a picture. Look up here. This is a spiritual application. It's a spiritual truth. Remember I told you we're all spiritually lame? This man got healed. It's a picture of being born again. Spiritual picture of being born again. And did you see when he got his salvation? Did he have to wait for it? No. He got it immediately. When you get saved, you get it immediately. Bobby, when you and your wife asked Christ to save you, you got it right then. Brother Dave Yost, when you asked Christ to save you, you got saved right then. When Dawn asked Christ to save her, bam, right then. When she said, yes, I want you, Lord, bam, she got saved right then. When Preacher back years ago in Toledo, Ohio, 1034 and a half Sherman Street, got down from that old green couch and said, Lord Jesus, save my soul, bam, I got saved immediately. And you go back, you should know the day. I'm not talking about shaking the preacher's hand. I'm not talking about joining the church. None of that gets you to heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Are you with me, church? Now notice, he said in verse, and he took by the right hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bones. And so salvation is immediate. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, it's immediate. It's not a hope soul. It's a no soul. I know I'm going to heaven because I've asked Christ to save me, and he immediately saved me. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm not praying through to be saved. I got saved immediately. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. That's right, 10:13 in Romans. So, and look at verse 8. And he leaped, look at this guy. He leaping up. stood and walked. There's a boy in my church. I've tried and tried to have God heal him. I still believe he could do it. But if he doesn't do it in this life, I know I'm going to see him do it in heaven. I know it for a fact. I wish we could bring down heaven in this life. He leaping up and stood. By the way, God can heal anybody. I don't care what people say. God can, listen, he created everything. He can make those things which are not as though they are. Matter of fact, he calls the things that are not as that they are. Don't look up. Look up here. Our God is great. Amen. There's nothing that God can't do. But he can't sin. He won't sin. Amen. He won't fail. He won't lie. But there's nothing nothing good thing he can't do. Amen. Now watch. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered them into the temple. By the way, do you ever notice when you get saved, you kind of walk different, don't you? You kind of have a different gait to your life, don't you? I was a little hoodlum years ago, I guess, something like that. I don't know what they call me before I got saved. But, oh, I'm glad, God. See, I started, you kids, listen to me. You know why I preach? I know what's good and what's bad. I've been there. From 15 years on up, I was in the pool halls, in the bars, in the back alleys. I know what's good and bad. Stay out of them places. Them places will destroy your life. Austin, it's like your grandpa's lucky that I got saved. If I wouldn't have met your grandma, I probably would have never known Christ as my Savior. Your grandma didn't save me, but she took me to a place where I'd hear about Christ. I'm very fortunate. You teenagers will say, I'll never drink a drop of alcohol. Amen. Say that with me. I'll never drink. Say it with me. I'll never drink a drop of alcohol. Say, I'll never take drugs. I'm going to tell you right now. Preacher, I'm going to go in that bar with my friend. I'm just going to drink Coke. Doesn't matter. You're still in a den of devils. And the next thing, you won't be drinking Coke. You'll be drinking something else. It always starts with one drink. Oh, come on, just take one. Just take one. Say, no, I'm not going to get in there. Don't you go in there. By the way, they're always dark. You never see a bright bar. You see a lit up bar, it's not open. That's right. Bars are dark. Bars are dark. Because it's the devil's den. And people that go there to be deceived by him. And I'm going to tell you something. Only evil can come out of it. You better listen to this preacher. I might have silver hair, but I used to be your ages, and I know I've been there. And all that ever comes out of there is you get knifed or shot or cut up with broken glass or pool sticks or you're beat up. You stay out. All they are is trouble. I'm going to get preaching on this. I love you kids. I'm trying to save you from a lot of heartache. Preacher, you say, why is that? Because preacher loves you. I want the best for your life. I don't want you to get into trouble. Amen? Look at the verse. I got to get moving. Immediately, he stood up. And then look at verse 8. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Woo, I like that. I like that, Mike. You know, did you notice something? Verse 7, he immediately was healed. And we are saved. And then in verse 8, people who get God has touched their lives ought to have praise on their tongue for what he's done for them. Did you notice that? And he entered walking and leaping and praising God. How many are saved here? Raise your hand. You ought to have praise on your tongue. You ought to be excited. You're You're so saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. And listen, we're only one heartbeat from heaven. I could die today. If I do, don't cry. I'll be with the Lord. Not because I'm good, because he saved me. Amen? There's no good thing about me. It's all Christ. Amen? Listen, this world, instead of seeing sad sacks in Christianity, they ought to see some excited Christianity. Joshie's got a good little slogan. He labeled something for 08, and I wish I would have wrote it down. Taking the gospel out, and I'll have to write that down. Do you remember what he said? How'd it go? Make the commission great in 2008. Make the commission great. The commission is go out and preach and teach and tell all the world about Christ. We ought to be excited and get out and praise God and go out and tell the whole world about our Savior. Amen? Amen? We ought to make the commission great in 2008, and people ought to see it. You know, if I went to where you worked and said, "Hey, do you know that guy or this lady?" What would they tell me about you? Would they say, "Oh yeah, they're a good person," or would they say, "Oh, does he ever tell you?" Would they say you're a Christian? Would they say that you have a testimony for Christ? Or would they say, "Oh yeah, he tells the dirty jokes and he mocks the things"? And what would they say about you? Well, I tell you, we Christians ought to have a good testimony. Amen. Yeah. Then look at verse 9. All the people saw him praising God. I like that. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What are people seeing in our walk? What are in our walk of life? All the people that see our life, what are they seeing? I hope they're seeing. See, this man just got transformed. Are you with me? When you get saved, you get transformed. You got something to be excited about. Amen? And listen, people ought to see a difference in when we get saved. See, there was a big difference in this man. He got healed. Are you with me? He became, Eddie, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all this old man's old past life was passed away. And man, he had a brand new life. And he was excited about it. I mean, you forget the Disney character. This guy was better than Pluto, man. He was excited. Hey, I got saved, man. God changed my life. Look at me. I can zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. Who's that? Jiminy Cricket? My, oh, my. What a wonderful day. Stay with me. I want you to get this. Do you see the big change in this man's life? Do you see the people saw a big change in his life? They ought to see a big change in our life. Amen? We ought to be praising God for what he's done for us and how he saved our soul from hell and gave us an eternity and mansions in glory. Listen, this man was lame from birth. He just didn't get this. This is really good. This man was lame from birth. He just didn't get strength to walk. This man that was lame from birth, he just didn't get strength to walk. Stay with me. Get this. He was given a whole new life. Now he could go out and work and play, jump and run. He was no longer lame. He was no longer dependent on others for help. Are you with me? Brother Coolidge, in essence, this man had been set free. Eddie, he was no longer in bondage. He had been saved from the old life. All the past life was behind him, and now he was a new creature with a new beginning. Amen. Amen. You see, that's what happens to a person that is lost and gets saved. We are set free when we get saved from our old life. We have the promise of heaven and eternal life. And by the way, the Bible says in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. Anyone say amen to that? All our sins are forgiven because Jesus blots them out with his precious blood. Look at Acts 3:19. I'm going to try to wind this down. I ran out of time. Acts 3:19. Peter said to those other men around him, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what?" Boy, that's a big thing. You know, the Old Testament and New Testament both talks about blotting out. Let me just quote you some scriptures. Isaiah 43:25, the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Christ says, he quotes about God, I, talking about Jesus, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. You ever see a cloud knocks out the sun? Say, man, I can't see nothing. We're in a cloud. I can't. That's what Jesus does with our sins. He covers them with his blood like a cloud. Are you with me? Notice Hebrews 10:17 says, and their sins and their iniquities I remember no more. Why? Because he blots them out. Then the question comes, preacher, how does Jesus blot out my sins? Look at Colossians in the new. You're in the book of Acts. Turn up a couple books. Colossians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter. How does he blot out my sin? Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him having forgiven you all trespassing, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailed it to his cross. What did he do on the cross? Whatever he did on the cross, Eddie, blotted out the sin. Hebrews will give you the answer. See, Jesus was on the cross and he shed his blood. See, the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus gave his life. Jesus shed his blood. See, Jesus gave his life's blood so we could have our sins blotted out. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, for there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. Now look at Hebrews with me real quickly. You can either stay there or turn with me. I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, because I got to really move. Hebrews 9. Remember, do you remember the Old Testament when you read through your Bible? What did God do for Adam and Eve after they sinned? Yes, Genesis 3:21. And the Bible said they were naked and God clothed them. An innocent lamb had to be killed. Innocent blood had to be shed so they could be covered. Then Cain and Abel were born, and Adam and Eve taught their children the way you get saved, the way you come to God, is by the shedding of blood. And so Abel offered up a lamb. He shed the blood of a lamb. But Cain, he said, no, I'm going to give you the best works of my hand. God said, no, I don't accept the best. You can't work your way to heaven. It's got to take the blood. I'll accept Abel's, but I'm not going to accept Cain's. Cain got mad, he killed his brother. Remember that? What was the first thing that Noah did when he got off the ark? He offered up a sacrifice. The shedding of blood. When you get with Moses and all the way down through the Levitical priesthood, what did they do? Once a year the high priest would come in the temple, the Holy of Holies, and he would offer up blood. And for 4,000 years, blood was sacrificed for atonement. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't save him. But that was just a covering, showing that they had faith that the true lamb would come, and one day cover them with his blood, and he did, by the way. They got saved looking towards the cross. We got saved looking back at the cross. Are you with me? But it was that blood. Look, let me read to you Hebrews. Oh, this is tremendous stuff. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. Hope I'm not boring you, but it's a great truth for you to understand. For when Moses, I'm in 9:19 of Hebrews, Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to his law. He took the blood of calves and goats, which and scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled a both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined you with." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with what? And without the shedding of blood is no remission, means no forgiveness. If you don't have blood, you don't have no forgiveness. Are you with me? God's not a vampire, by the way. This blood is atonement. Amen? Watch. Look in verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of these things in heaven should be purified with the things, with heavenly things, themselves with better sacrifice. He said, those were just types till Jesus came down from heaven. He was the real thing. For Christ is not, verse 24, for Christ is not entered in the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of truth, but in heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us, now yet for that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered. By the way, they had entered because they were sinners too. And they died. Jesus never dies. He lives forever. And into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared, Christ on Calvary, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How many see that? And it's appointed a man once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look on him shall he appear the second time without sin. Unto what? For those that are covered with the blood. Look, stay in Hebrews with me. Look at chapter 10, verse 9. Then he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first. What was the first thing? The old covenant with the Old Testament priest. The sacrificial blood sacrifices. Are you with me? That he may establish the secondary. What's the second one? It was Jesus' blood on the cross of Calvary. He said, "You remember all 4,000 years of sacrifice of those animals? That was just a type. That was just a picture of what was going to really happen. I'm taking that away because I'm going to give you the real thing. The second thing, it was the Son of God on Calvary's cross shedding his blood." How many see that? By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Yeah, they couldn't. Those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't take away sins. But this man hath yet offered up one sacrifice since forever sat down on the right hand of God. Can anyone say amen? Yeah, once for all. And then, look in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, the boldest and the holiest, by the what? Yeah, look up here now. I'm almost done. See, what Jesus did, he took that blood that he shed, and he put it up in heaven on the mercy seat. And now everyone gets saved, even though you can't see it, that blood's applied to you. Isn't that exciting? When Moses was in Egypt? Remember when Moses was in Egypt and he said, "Let my people go," and then they finally had the Exodus? What did God do to let them exit? They put the blood on the doorpost. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." See, it's always been the blood. And those that didn't have the blood, what happened to them? They died. Are you with me? See, stay with me. Jesus shed blood on Calvary's cross, made it possible for your sins to be blotted out. Oh, the Old Testament saints knew about that blotting out of people's sins. Let me read to you Nehemiah real quickly. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 5. And covering, by the way, Nehemiah's talking to God about his enemies. And God, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out. They're our enemies, God. Don't forgive them. Hello. You say, boy, that sounds pretty strong. Look what David said. Well, let me read to you what David said in Psalm 69. Let me turn to it. Psalm 69. I think it's verse 18. I've got it. Psalm 69, 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of living. Woo! Get this. Let them be blotted out of the book of living and not be written with the righteous. Are you still with me? I'm going to close this out. Listen, to get to heaven, you must be born again. And you must have the blood of Jesus applied to you, because the blood of Christ covers your sins. Now, you're not going to sit there with blood on you. Don't go home and kill some animal and pour blood. That's atoning blood, and that's spiritual, and that's up in heaven. Are you with me? But God calls you cleansed by his blood, just as though, even though you're still here, he applies it to you even before you have. Are you with me? Before you even get to heaven, he applies it to you. Are you still with me? Now watch. I thought about this blotting out. You want your sins blotted out, because if you don't get your sins blotted out by the blood, you don't get to go to heaven. But there's a couple. God talks about blotting certain things out. Let me give you two real quick ones. He talks about blotting out your sins. You want your sins blotted out. That is good. You don't want your name blotted out, which David was talking about. If you get your sins blotted out, you go to heaven. If you get your name blotted out, you go to hell. Because God's got a book of life, and if your name's not written in it, you don't go to heaven. And you have to have the blood applied to you so you get to have your name in there. Are you with me? There is a blotting out of your sins. There's a blotting out of your name. One is good. One is bad. One means you go to heaven. The other one means you go to hell. Look at these last scriptures, and I promise I close. Look in the book of Revelation with me. I got three scriptures. Look at Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Are you with me? And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Bum, 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 bum. Are you with me? Now watch. Look at 3:5. He that overcometh, I'm in Revelation. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white apparel. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. How many see that? Boy, I'm glad my name's written in the book of life. And by the way, you can't take it out. It's written in blood. You can't erase it. You can't lose it once it's in. Once you get it in there, you can't take it out. We have eternal security, eternal life. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Not everybody has it, though. 13:8 of Revelation. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Talking about the Antichrist during the tribulation, whose names are not written in the book of life and the Lamb from the foundation. There's going to be a lot of lost people. If you're lost, your name's not written in the book of life. Are you still with me? Anyone's name not written in the book of life, they go to hell. Look at Revelation 17:8. The beast and thou sawest was not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. They shall dwell on the earth, shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, wow, he made it and they didn't make it. I think we're going to be surprised who really goes to heaven and who doesn't go to heaven. See, heaven's not going to be made up of religious people. It's going to be made up of saved people. Heaven's going to be made up of people that put their faith in Christ and got their name, got their sins blotted out by his blood. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've been thinking about that scripture in Peter. We've been, David 1:18, is it? We've been redeemed by the precious blood. Find that and read it to me, David. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Our associate pastor, read that for me. I think it's 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says we've been redeemed by the precious blood.
1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Yes, that blood
is important. That's why a lot of religions don't want to preach about the blood. They don't sing about the blood. They take it out of their, Bibles. They take it out of their songbooks. Hang on to the blood's what saves you. The precious blood of Jesus. And are you washed in the blood of the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you with me? One last scripture. I'm all done. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. If your name's not written in the book of life, that means you don't have the blood applied to your sins. That means God will not pass over you. He will put you in hell. There's nothing you can do to get the blood physically. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. It's all by faith. And you get it by just receiving Christ as your Savior. Come here, Austin. Grandpa thought about you last night as I was preparing this. I was hoping you'd wear that new suit I got you, but you didn't wear it today. Okay. We're going to make Aussie Jesus today, okay? Sorry, Lord. Just wanted to use my grandson for an illustration. Still a good-looking kid, though, ain't he? Takes after his grandpa. Anyways, ornery. Jesus came. Look at this. Look at this. I'll just quote to you. If you want to look at it, you can look at John chapter 1. Verse 11 and 12. John 1:11 says, Jesus came in his own received him not. That's the Jews. They reject him. So then he opened up to all people, Jew or Gentile. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them they gave the power to become the sons of God. When Peter, James, and John, Eddie, when Jesus walked on the earth, a lot of people received him. They said, yes, I want you. Are you with me? Because he was there. Physically. But now, Jesus died. Third day, he arose from the grave. And then he ascended. Go up to the top and stand on one of them chairs. And Jesus arose and he ascended up to heaven. Now, I can't see him like they did, Coolidge, because he's no longer here on earth. He's up in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But that John 1:12 says this, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Watch the last part of that verse. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them, because he knew there would be future people, even to them, John 1:12, that would believe on his name. Brother Mike and Brother Dick, as Christ the same, not months ago or so, he believed on his name. Jesus didn't come and visit his house, say, hey, I want to see all these nice tractors. He already knows he has them. Are you with me? I want to see him, though. I might get on one of them, ride one of them babies. Hello, Bronco. One of the slow ones with lots of room where I can't hit nothing. See, Bruce, when you got saved, you looked up to heaven on Christ, didn't you? You see, he's not here no more. You believed on his name. Are you with me, Bruce? Now, come on down, Jesus. Did all right, kid. Couldn't wait. Get back, I'll knock you out. I love picking on my kids. Oh, I'm not cruel to my kids. I love my babies beyond measure. I just like to slap them up a little bit once. It's good for them. You think that's bad? You'll see how hard Lukey hits. You really good hit. You're lucky Lukey didn't hit you. Thank you, Austin. You did pretty good. Here's what you need to do today. Two questions. I'm all done. Number one. Have your sins been blotted out? According to Acts 3:19, have your sins been blotted out by the blood of Jesus? Have you been converted, trusted Christ, invited him in your heart, asked him to save you? Has God applied his blood to your sins? Is your name written? Has your name, or is your name blotted out in the Lamb's book of life? You want the blood to be blotted. You do not want your name to be blotted out. If your name is blotted out, you will not go to heaven. That's what the scripture says. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. How you know you can go to heaven, preacher? Realize you're lost. You can't save yourself. You're like that lame man. You're helpless. But there's one that can pick you up and save you by his power. It's Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And when he touches you, when he saves you, he'll blot out your sins with his blood. You won't see it, but God will see it, and that's all that matters. God will see the blood, and that's all that matters. I wonder today, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure that my name's written in the book of life. I know for sure that I've had my sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Could you raise your hand? I know for sure. Thank you. May put them down. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God? Pastor, I'm not sure. I am not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I really don't want to die in my sins and die and go to hell. I don't want to miss out on that precious blood of Jesus that was shed for me on Calvary's cross. And I'd like Christ to save me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. I'd really like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Pray for me. Raise your hand. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Pray for me. Raise your hand where I can see it. Preacher, I don't know if I died. Go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Pray for me. I'm not sure. We started a brand new year. Christians, if you've been redeemed by the blood, your tongue ought to say so. There ought to be praise on your tongues. There ought to be a witness to the world. I've been redeemed. Just like this man was excited that he could walk and jump, you ought to be jumping for joy that you're a Christian. You ought to be letting the whole world see my life has been transformed by Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that we taught and preached well. I pray that we explained things so people could understand. Lord, I pray if there be any here today, oh God, under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, would you go up and down the pews right now? Holy Spirit, would you please convict men and women and show them they need Christ? And Lord, not only that, but convince Christians that are saved to have confidence in what you've done for them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now.